If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy it is to greet you today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday was a very remarkable day here at Worth Baptist Church. Some 670 people answered the roll call to the Sunday school roll to study God's Word together in the Sunday school studies last Sunday. That gave us an average of 655 per Sunday during the days of October, making it the greatest single month in the history of the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church. Today, we invite you to come and visit with us for this very special occasion, because today is Roundup Day here at Worth Baptist Church. Our goal in Sunday School is 1,000 for Christ. Now, we're depending on many of our friends to come and visit with us today, and some of you have been saying, well, someday I'm going to visit Worth Baptist Church. Well, someday is here now. This is sort of your someday to come and visit with us here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday School begins at 10 o'clock. And remember, we have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level, and the Bible is the only textbook in our Sunday School. Today, again, is Roundup Day, and our goal, 1,000 for Christ in Sunday School. Why not get the family ready and come and visit with us today? We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. You can reach Wilbarger Street from Loop 820 in either direction, going north or south. You can exit on Wilbarger, or you could exit off of Wichita coming from the west, and we'd be happy to have you come and visit with us today. If you're coming from the downtown area, you can come right on out Interstate 20 like you were going to the Pike, but take off on 287 South, and that'll be the Pawley Freeway. That's 287 South, and come to the exit of Wilbarger Street, and you'll be just a few blocks from Worth Baptist Church. Remember, by Loop 820 or by 287 South, the Pawley Freeway, Mitchell Boulevard, Wichita Street, all of these are near the location of Worth Baptist Church. So we invite you in whatever area of the city you live today to come and visit with us. You can be here in just a matter of moments by Loop 820 or by 287 South. Come today to visit with us on Roundup Day and be one of the 1,000 who will be in Sunday School at Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our address is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We would be happy to have you visit with us today. Bring the whole family. Let's make it a family affair as we study God's Word together at 10 and enter the morning worship hour at 11. And our Sunday evening worship service at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs, and it would be our joy to share them with you as we share Christ with the city of Fort Worth and with the Metroplex. The objective of Worth Baptist Church is to build a strong New Testament church with Spirit-filled believers whose outreach is to evangelize the city and the regions beyond. The vision of Worth Baptist Church is worldwide, and we are now helping to support more than 75 missionary families in various parts of the world. So if you're looking for a church that is reaching around the world with the gospel, that teaches the Bible in the Sunday School, and whose message is Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again, we invite you to visit with us today at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. If you would like the cassette tapes of the messages of Worth Baptist Hour, we invite you to write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Church That Was Both Rich and Poor. I shall read from the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee again today for Thy continued blessings upon us. We thank Thee for the fabulous fall of 75. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast made it possible for us to reach new heights during these days. And I pray for this day. I pray that people all over the city of Fort Worth would be in church today, would honor Thee, and would put Christ first in their lives. I pray today for every preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for every church where the Bible is taught. And I pray that across this city and across the Metroplex and across the nation and around the world, that men would come to realize that without Christ, we're hopeless. I pray for the leaders of our nation. There are many difficulties facing us as a people, and I pray today that Thou wouldst bless our president and our congressmen and our court members and our governors and all who are in places of authority today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they might have a sense of divine direction as they trust Thee and believe Thy word. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are sick and afflicted, our shut-in friends. So many of them today are unable to go to church and to be out in public worship. And this broadcast has been a blessing to so many of them. And I pray for them, for our senior citizens today in the rest homes or in their own private homes or in the hospitals where there are those who are aging and entering the twilight zone of life. I pray today that Thou wouldst strengthen and sustain them. And may this broadcast and this message bless the hearts of our senior citizens in particular. And may it bless the hearts of those who are discouraged and those who are unsaved and those who have problems and trials and difficulties within this hour. May the Holy Spirit use the message to encourage and to lift them up. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This is the letter that Jesus Christ wrote to the church at Smyrna by John the beloved apostle from the Isle of Patmos. We call these letters in the Revelation letters from heaven. They come from Christ through John to the various churches of Asia Minor. And in them there is a message for the church of today. You see, God's word is always relevant. God's word is timely. It's just as true as it was the day it was written. And it has an application for us in this hour. Your life needs the touch of God upon it today. And you need the Word of God to give you strength and guidance and encouragement along the way. Without the Word of God, there's only blindness and darkness and destitution and destruction. But with the Word of God, you have a roadmap for your life. In this letter to the church at Smyrna, there are some wonderful things that we can apply to our hearts and lives today. It is an unusual letter from an unusual person to an unusual church with unusual members who had an unusual pastor. On a certain Sunday, about the year 150 A.D., the members of the church at Smyrna went to church only to discover they had no pastor. Had he been called to a bigger church? No. Had he suffered a heart attack and died? No. Had he resigned to enter another field of the ministry? No. Between Sundays, the pastor of the church at Smyrna had been taken by his persecutors and burned at the stake. Why? Because he resisted the powers of imperialism, of Rome, and because he made a testimony for Jesus Christ. Who was this pastor? His name was Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, the pastor of the church at Smyrna in Asia Minor. What was his claim to fame? He is supposedly the last saint to talk with the beloved John the Apostle from the Isle of Patmos. What were his final words before his death? Well, we are told in history that when Polycarp was given a chance to renounce his faith, while the fires of the faggots were surrounding his body, he said this, and I quote, 86 years have I served him, and he has never wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who has saved me? What a testimony. Now Polycarp sealed his testimony for Christ in his own blood that came gushing forth from his body, almost extinguishing the flames that were burning him to death. And yet he had such a strong faith in the face of opposition and persecution and death. Polycarp remained faithful to Jesus Christ. The history of the church has been one of suffering and persecution. The blueprint of the church has been etched in blood. The church at Smyrna knew the bitter taste of suffering. Their possessions were confiscated. Their citizenship was revoked. They were fed to lions. They were torn asunder. They were burned at the stake. And yet, they maintained their faith and held on to their testimony of what Jesus Christ meant to them. Let me ask you a question today. How much do we know of this kind of suffering? How many of us would endure such agony for Christ? How many of us would die the death of a martyr rather than renounce our faith in Jesus Christ? My friend, if your faith is worth anything, your faith is worth living for, and if needs be, dying for. The church at Smyrna discovered the awesome truth that it cost a price to serve Jesus Christ. I want you to consider three things about these members at the church of Smyrna. First of all, they were poor. Jesus said to them, "I know thy poverty." What Jesus really said was this, "I understand. I sympathize with your position. I know what it means to be poor." Jesus himself did know something of poverty. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." Jesus Christ was born in a borrowed stable. He said one day to his followers, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed mule. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. In spite of the poverty that was so rampant in the days of the church at Smyrna, they were very rich people. Now that sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? But remember the kind of riches they had. They were rich in spiritual things. You see, a man can have all the wealth in the world and be poor toward God. And on the other hand, a man can have nothing. He can be stripped of all of his possessions. He can live in abject poverty and yet be rich toward God. These people were rich in faith. They were rich in hope. They were rich in love. They were rich for eternity because they were rich toward God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt, and thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Again, in another place, in Luke chapter 12, at verse 15, Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." In other words, man is more than material. A man's life is not in what he has in dollars and cents or silver and gold. A man's life consisteth in his proper relationship to God. And the only way you can have a proper relationship to God is through Jesus Christ, His Son. Paul put it this way, "Having nothing, yet possessing all things." You possess all things if Jesus Christ is your Savior. And you are very poor, even if you have millions, if you have not Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. When Jesus said to them, "Ye are poor, yet rich," He used the word plousios for the word rich. The word plousios is the Greek word from which we get our English word plutocrat. So what Jesus said to them was this, "You are the Lord's plutocrats." And today, my friend, having Jesus Christ as our Savior means that we are the Lord's plutocrats. We have Christ. We have heaven. We have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We have sufficiency in all things. My friend, if you're feeling sorry for us Christians, don't waste your time. We don't need your sympathy. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which means that everything that God has, He has given to Christ, and Christ shares it with us. The second thing about these people at Smyrna was this. Not only were they poor, but they were persecuted. Jesus said, "You shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, actually, Jesus was talking about 10 distinct, separate periods of persecution, from Nero in 54 A.D. to Diocletian in 284 A.D. There were precisely 10 outbreaks of persecution against the church. And some of them were put to death, and they were deprived of what they needed. And yet Jesus said, "You're rich, and don't be afraid. Fear none of these things that are coming upon you." Some of you listening to this broadcast today are undergoing some difficult times. You're facing financial difficulty. You're facing domestic problems, employment problems. You have health problems. You have psychological problems. You have mental problems. There are all kinds of problems and persecutions and perils and difficulties that are facing you today. But remember this, Jesus Christ understands. Jesus Christ knows all about you. Jesus Christ sympathizes with you in this hour. His grace is sufficient. His strength is sufficient. His love is sufficient. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what your address is. He knows your name, your zip code number, your area code number, your social security number. He knows the number of the hairs of your head. He knows all about you. He knows the trials, the problems, the persecutions, the sorrows, the tragedies that you're undergoing in your life right now. Jesus Christ knows and He understands. And He, as your high priest, sympathizes with you in this hour. Paul put it this way in Hebrews 4. Verse 15, "For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Paul gives us a word of comfort further when he says, "Our light affliction is but for a moment, and worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And then Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Have you considered who dictated this letter to John, the beloved apostle? Listen again to the words of verse 8. Jesus said, "I was dead, but now I'm alive. The first and the last, the one who was dead." Yes, Jesus died. He died on the cross for your sins, but the grave could not contain him. And on the morning of the third day, he rose again. And he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Now, many great leaders have lived and died, but they've never lived again. Only Jesus Christ lived and died and lives again. Therefore, he can say, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, "Fear none of these things." And we need not fear today. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Again, the psalmist said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." You have nothing to fear today. As the disciples were once fishing in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came up, and fear came upon all of them. And Jesus began to walk to them from the shore on the water. And they thought it was a spirit, and they were very afraid. And Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And oh, how Jesus is speaking that word to your heart today. My friend, wherever you are and whatever the need of your life, upon that sea of life, your little boat is being tossed, and Jesus is saying to you, "Don't be afraid. Fear not. I'm here with you. Cheer up. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will hold your hand. I will see you through." You do not have to fear, because Jesus Christ is right by your side. And then in the third place, not only were they poor and persecuted, but they were promised the crown of life. Jesus said to them, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." The only way to be prepared to die for Christ tomorrow is for you to live for Christ today. If we share in his cross, we will share in his crown. When Peter was in jail under death sentence, and James had already been put to death, Peter was sentenced to die the following day. What was he doing in prison that night before his execution? Was he down on his knees praying for Herod to die that he might escape? No. Was he plotting some way to escape prison? No. Was he wringing his hands in fear and anxiety? No. Peter was asleep. Why, even the angel had to wake him up and tell him that God had planned his deliverance. How could Peter sleep on the night before he was to die? I'll tell you, because Peter knew that if he died that night, he was going to heaven. Could I ask you a heart-to-heart personal question? A question that has weight for eternity? The most important question that you could answer today? Here it is. If you die today, do you know that you're going to heaven? You can know it by your simple, childlike faith in Jesus Christ. Just bow your head right there, right where you are, and pray the sinner's prayer. "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know what will happen to you? Your life will be transformed. Your soul will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be made a new creature in Christ, and you'll be on your way to heaven. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. If you are not ready to die, you have never begun to live. As we leave the broadcast today, I remind you once again that today, November 2nd, is Roundup Day at Worth Baptist Church. We are reaching for 1,000 in Sunday school, and we want you to be a part of it today. So until next Lord's Day at this same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.